The original podcast was recorded in German. This podcast was translated using artificial intelligence. Burn Rate, the Venture Insider podcast with Max Meister.
Welcome to Burn Rate, the Venture Insider podcast. I'm here with Guy Giuffredi to talk about what's new in the startup world with a focus on venture capital. Episode 66 is on the line. We're recording on Tuesday, October 7th at 6 p.m. This episode is brought to you by our sponsors Omnium and Upscaler CH. Today, we're doing our Deals of the Month edition, covering the most important Swiss startup deals from September. Guy, what's on the agenda?
As always, we'll kick things off with the Burn Rate market snapshot, a quick look back at last month's key facts and figures from the Swiss startup ecosystem. Then comes the pièce de résistance, our deep dives into three major deals. First, the exit of Lakera AI. Second, Autarian's Series B round, another ETH spin-off. And finally, the Series B of Deskbird. For each, we'll look at how the company evolved, its funding history, and who the main investors or buyers are.
Exactly. Of course, there were plenty of other transactions in September we'd love to discuss, but we always try to pick a good mix of themes and stages. If any of you want us to cover a specific transaction next time, just send it in as a listener question. All right, let's get started with the monthly recap.
Our industry is definitely back from summer break. In September, we saw 34 funding rounds totaling about 250 million Swiss francs. By comparison, in August, during the vacation slowdown, only 14 rounds worth around 120 million were announced. So September brought roughly 2.5 times more rounds, and the total volume more than doubled. The largest was Autarian's 130 million USD round, a drone and AI startup, now officially a US company, which adds a bittersweet note. Then came Cutis with a 31 million Series C in biotech. We covered that in our September episode. And Corintis, an EPFL spin-off with 24 million USD. Also worth mentioning, Unbound Potential's 14.5 million euro pre-seed round, massive for such an early stage and making waves across Europe. Pre-seed and grant funding totaled about 2.5 million, again, roughly 2.5 times August's level. On the exit side, we counted 12 transactions in September, though not all were classic startup exits. Some were sales of more mature companies. Two were major nine-figure deals. Knorr Bremse bought Duagon for around 500 million euros, and Lakera AI was acquired by Checkpoint Software Technologies for about 300 million US dollars. We'll dive into that one shortly. Also worth noting, Switzerland was once again named the most innovative country in the world for the 13th or 14th year in a row, and the top 100 startups event took place where Corintis ranked number one. Congratulations. And Lakera, fresh off its exit, came in number 18.
If we compare that with last year, September 2024 saw 196 million francs invested across 20 rounds. This year's 250 million means a 22% increase, and we also had 1.7 times more rounds, a clear positive signal for the Swiss ecosystem. Now let's put that in a European context. According to tech.eu, European tech companies raised 8.4 billion euros in September 2025. That's a sharp jump from August 2025, when only 3.2 billion were raised, probably because many people were still on the beach. The number of deals also nearly doubled, 367 transactions versus 189 in August. The hottest sectors were AI, cloud technology, and fintech. Geographically, the UK led the pack, followed by France, the Netherlands, Sweden, and Germany. These five countries accounted for about 80% of all capital raised. The leap from 3.2 to 8.4 billion represents roughly a 163% increase, a spike driven by a few mega rounds rather than broad-based growth. Tech.eu also noted that deal volume has doubled since September 2024, but the number of transactions rose less dramatically, confirming that large individual financings drove most of the growth.
So, to sum up, September was a strong month for both Switzerland and Europe, though part of that surge is simply seasonal. After a quiet August, September tends to be big.
With Omnium, you can close your funding round faster and more successfully. Omnium is an innovative digital platform for growth financing, a true one-stop shop that offers a fully digital, lean, and cost-efficient process, including the legal framework, investor KYC, and payment handling. Startups can choose a private round to use the platform for their own investor network, a private round plus to reach 10,000 registered investors, or a public round to open the offering to everyone. With Omnium, you'll close your funding round faster and better. If you want to scale your startup quickly and sustainably, the Upscaler program is for you. It gives you access to a large network of founders, entrepreneurs, and investors. Over 50 startups have already benefited from more than 500 workshops and scaled their businesses nationally and internationally. To join them, visit www.upscaler.ch.
Let's get to our first deal of the month, Lakera AI, a Swiss AI security startup that was acquired by Checkpoint Software Technologies for about $300 million. It's a major milestone for Swiss AI startups. Founded in 2021 and already an exit in 2025, that's fast. We've followed Lakera's journey closely here on Burnrate. Guy, let's dig in. Who are their customers? What's the product? And where do they operate?
From day one, Lakera was international. They built offices in Zurich and San Francisco early to bridge Europe and the US, leveraging ETH Zurich's deep tech environment while tapping into the US market. Their customer base is impressive for such a young company, several Fortune 500 enterprises, as well as AI-driven startups that rely on machine learning in critical processes. They've also announced partnerships with Microsoft, clear evidence that they're far beyond the pilot stage and already working with global tech leaders.
They've certainly achieved market validation with two core products. First, Lakera Red, a pre-deployment assessment tool that lets companies test their AI systems for vulnerabilities before launch. Second, Lakera Guard, a runtime solution that detects and blocks attacks during operation. It protects against prompt injection, data leaks, and even model tampering. Both products leverage their so-called Gandalf network, a massive database of more than 80 million attack patterns continuously expanded for red teaming and defense.
And the tech really works. It's incredibly fast. They report latency below 50 milliseconds, a detection rate above 98%, and false positives under 0.5%. If those numbers are even close to accurate, that's world-class performance.
So you have a platform that protects the entire AI lifecycle, from pre-testing to live operations and continuous defense. What's also smart is that they're model agnostic, not tied to any specific provider.
Exactly. Model agnostic means companies can use Lakera with OpenAI, Anthropic, Google, or their own LLMs. It integrates seamlessly and supports more than 100 languages, a huge advantage for global rollouts. Lakera isn't just for English-speaking markets, it's built for the world.
That paints a clear picture. Big enterprise clients, deep technology, and global reach from day one. And now, a successful exit. Checkpoint acquired the company for about $300 million. Strategically, that's a home run for them, right?
Absolutely. Checkpoint not only gets cutting-edge technology, but also a talented team and a Zurich base that they'll transform into a global AI security hub. Their goal is to secure a leading position in a market that's about to explode. AI security is one of the hottest topics worldwide right now.
Maybe a quick word about Checkpoint itself. They're a true veteran in cybersecurity, founded in 1993 in Israel, long before many of our listeners were born. Today, they're headquartered in Tel Aviv and the US, and they've been listed on NASDAQ since 1996 under the ticker CHKP, only 3 years from founding to IPO. That's remarkable. How are they doing today?
Pretty well. In 2024, they generated around $2.6 billion in revenue with a market cap of roughly $22 billion. Growth has been modest, 5 to 10% per year, but they're extremely profitable with an EBITDA of $940 million and a margin above 35%.
So for them, spending $300 million on Lakera was basically pocket change. Strategically, it fits perfectly. ETH-born technology, fast growth, blue-chip clients. The acquisition will help La Cara scale even faster through Checkpoint's global network. Let's look briefly at La Cara's funding history.
La Cara was founded in 2021 and raised a pre-seed round of $1.1 million at a 5 million pre-money valuation. Then, in 2023, came a $10 million seed round led by Red Alpine with Flyer Ventures, Innovia, and angels from the security and SaaS space, including people from Silicon Valley. The valuation was $22.5 million pre-money, with some convertible notes rolled in on slightly better terms.
A year later, they closed their Series A for $20 million, led by Atomico, a top-tier European fund based in London, joined by corporate VC arms of Dropbox and City Ventures, plus existing investors. Post-money valuation jumped to around 65 million francs, roughly a doubling from the seed.
And now, just 1 year later, the company sells for $300 million, a huge step up. 10 million seed, 20 million Series A, so 30 million equity raised in total. From a 65 million post-money to a 300 million exit. That's about a 4.6 times multiple on valuation. Seed investors made around 27 times in 4 years. Later investors about 7 to 9 times in 2 years. And Series A funds roughly 4.5 times. Strong returns for a short holding period.
If the founders didn't sell secondaries and held their common shares until exit, their stake would be worth around $144 million. Not a bad payout for 4 years of work. Well done.
Absolutely. Congratulations to the team and investors. Let's zoom out for a moment. What does this mean for Switzerland and our deep tech ecosystem?
That's a great question. And it really has several layers. First, there's the talent aspect. La Cara was tightly connected to ETH Zurich, and the fact that a global player like Checkpoint is now establishing an AI security center right here in Zurich is a massive talent magnet. It shows young engineers and researchers that they can build a global career from Switzerland. They don't necessarily have to move to Silicon Valley anymore.
Exactly. And secondly, it's excellent branding for Switzerland's deep tech ecosystem. If you look at Didelayan, which we covered in the last Deals of the Month episode, and now Lakera, both exits happened in a short period of time and send a strong message. Switzerland isn't just about biotech and fintech. It can produce AI-first companies that are globally relevant.
And the third point is international buyers. The fact that a Nasdaq-listed company from Israel is acquiring a young Zurich startup for $300 million proves that global corporations are watching Switzerland very closely. That builds confidence for investors and founders alike. An exit doesn't always have to go through the US. Acquirers are actively looking here.
Finally, from a broader ecosystem perspective, La Cara provides proof that significant deep tech exits are possible in Switzerland. Many funds, including ours, often ask whether such exits can really happen here, and La Cara is a clear proof of concept. It shows that it's possible and that it can happen faster than many expect. This sends a strong signal to talent, to investors, and to future buyers. La Cara isn't just an isolated success story, it's another building block in Switzerland's reputation as a deep tech nation.
Exactly. It shows that Switzerland can create globally relevant AI security champions within just a few years. It also reinforces our investment logic at Koyo Capital, the kind of success we believe in. Off the record, though, I've been asked several times this week whether La Cara might have sold too early. It's a tricky question. The returns were clearly very good, but could they have raised another round, expanded further, and maybe reached a valuation north of a billion? That's what one well-known VC said to me recently, that Swiss companies tend to sell too early. We could probably spend an entire episode debating that, but it's an important topic. When should founders keep pushing and when should they take the money? What are the risks of holding out for more? Why accept a good offer if it's not an extraordinary one? These are the kinds of questions the founders and their board must have debated intensely. In the end, they decided to take the deal. And given the outcome, it's hard to argue with that. Still, it's a fascinating discussion, maybe something for a future column or special episode.
I agree completely. When we hinted at this potential sale back in episode 63, I actually thought La Cara might go all the way, maybe become a unicorn. So yes, $300 million USD is a fantastic outcome for such a young company, but part of me wonders whether they could have pushed even further. Still, for both the founders and investors, it's an excellent exit and a strong signal for the entire Swiss ecosystem.
Our next deal of the month is another deep tech scale-up with Swiss roots that's making waves internationally, Auterion. The company just announced a massive Series B round of $130 million US dollars, one of the largest rounds we've seen in Switzerland this year. Guy, maybe start by walking us through the company's history. Where does Auterion actually come from?
Auterion was born at ETH Zurich. The founders, Lorenz Meyer, Kevin Santori, and several other researchers, were deeply involved in the open source community around PX4. For those who don't know, PX4 is one of the world's most widely used open source flight control operating systems for drones. It became a global standard because it's modular, scalable, and free to use. That code originally came out of an ETH lab project. Auterion took that foundation and built a commercial layer on top, bridging open source community tech with enterprise-grade software.
That's a great way to put it. They turned open source into a business. Auterion developed a full operating system for drone fleets called Auterion OS. It's now used by commercial customers in industries like energy and logistics, as well as by defense organizations.
Exactly. On top of that, they also provide hardware such as the Skynote X, which equips standard drones with connectivity, autonomy, and cloud integration right out of the box. That makes Auterion especially interesting. They don't just sell software, they offer a complete ecosystem for drone operations. In the news lately, we've heard a lot about the so-called drone wall being built to defend Europe's eastern borders. This is precisely where Auterion's technology comes into play, enabling autonomous drones to detect and neutralize threats efficiently without endangering human lives.
Lorenz Meyer recently mentioned that they've signed a contract with Ukraine and are delivering 330,000 units this year. The project is underway and helping Ukraine defend itself. According to him, the company is already cash flow positive and seeing accelerating demand from Europe.
That's right. It's the classic dual-use story. Most of their revenue likely comes from the defense sector. The topic has truly arrived in Europe. In recent months, after incidents in Denmark, Norway, and Germany where airports were shut down due to drone attacks or espionage, policymakers finally realized they need to act quickly to protect national security.
Auterion started in Zurich, but early on opened a US office and later moved its headquarters there to be closer to major defense clients. Today, they mainly operate in the US and work directly with the Department of Defense on intelligence, swarming, and mission coordination programs.
I think it's remarkable that an ETH spin-off managed to turn open source drone software into a globally relevant company addressing both civil and military applications. If Europe had reacted faster after the war in Ukraine began and invested in defense capabilities earlier, Auterion might still be a European player instead of a US-based one. Once again, we see a Swiss drone case shifting from purely civilian to dual-use applications, just like we discussed in our previous Deals of the Month episode with Dedalion and Destinus. Max, you've historically been pretty skeptical about drone startups. Do these recent cases, Auterion, Dedalion, change your perspective? What does a drone startup need today to be successful?
Good question, and not an easy one. The market has definitely evolved, and the tipping point, as we all know, was the war. Suddenly, drone startups had new, urgent use cases. Those that could adapt quickly found real demand and became relevant almost overnight. But we should be cautious with the term dual use. It often means 90% of the revenue still comes from one side. There are a ton of drone startups out there. The Financial Times even ran an analysis recently showing just how saturated the sector is. That supports my view that many of these cases failed simply because they couldn't meet regulatory requirements. Each country has its own rules, and that makes scaling incredibly difficult. Some nations are far ahead, others are miles behind. I've always been skeptical because you can't bet against governments. If regulation or certification is needed, you're dependent on slow bureaucratic processes, and that can take years. We've seen this with delivery robot startups too. Anywhere you need a government permit, progress becomes unpredictable. That's why I've tended to avoid those cases as an investor. But, and this is important, some drone startups do work. They find a niche where they can dominate, even if it's small. Auterion positioned itself very cleverly. It's not just another drone manufacturer. Lorenz Meyer and his team went straight to where the real market is, the US defense sector, and quickly landed major customers. So would I invest in a seed stage drone startup today? Honestly, probably not. It's still a very binary market. You can't easily predict how regulation will evolve. So yes, I remain cautious. Unless a team has found a highly defensible niche and deep technical IP, it's tough. One swallow doesn't make a summer, as the saying goes. We'll keep watching closely. But for now, it's still high risk.
Well, I'm sure every founder working on drones who listens to this will now be thinking, challenge accepted. They'll all be writing to you, Max, to change your mind.
Bring it on. All right, let's talk about Auterion's financing history.
Of course. We've modeled their cap table as well. Auterion was founded at the end of 2017. Their first round, a 10 million USD seed in September 2018, included Lakestar, one of Europe's best-known funds with Spotify and many other top names in its portfolio. Mosaic Ventures from London, focused on deep tech startups, also joined, along with Costanoa Ventures and Tectonic Ventures from the US. The round was done in multiple closings. Early investors came in at just over 10 million pre-money, and by the final closing, the valuation had risen to about 30 million post-money.
10 million was already a big valuation for a seed round in Switzerland back then, pre-boom years, but with such a strong international syndicate, it made sense. After that, two more rounds followed that barely made the news here. In 2020, existing investors added another 11 million, and by the end of 2022, a further 35 million came in. By that point, the company's valuation had climbed to around 100 million francs.
Exactly. Total equity funding up to that point was about 55 million US dollars, grants and loans not included. In 2022, Auterion also won the Swiss High Tech Award. Now, 3 years later, we have the blockbuster Series B. Bessemer Venture Partners led the round, 105 million US dollars in equity. Since the company is now headquartered in the US, the valuation was set in dollars. Lorenz Meyer said they're now valued north of 600 million US dollars. In addition to the equity, they received a non-dilutive 25 million grant from the US Department of Defense.
Those are serious investors. Bessemer is one of the oldest and most respected VC funds in the US, managing over 20 billion US dollars. They've backed giants like Shopify, LinkedIn, Pinterest, DocuSign, and Twilio, so a true top-tier investor. They usually bet on category leaders in the US, so it's remarkable that they've chosen a Swiss-born deep tech company. Altogether, around 160 million francs in equity have now been invested. Give us a quick midterm check, Guy. How are the investors doing so far?
Pretty well, I'd say. Early seed investors from 2018 are sitting on roughly 11 times or 5.5 times returns, depending on their entry valuation. Later, follow-on investors from 2020 and 2022 are at about 3.5 times and 2.3 times, respectively. It's a great case to illustrate how dilution works, sometimes brutally so. The company's valuation jumped from 13 million post-money to roughly 480 million francs now, a 37 times increase. Yet those early investors see an 11 times multiple. Still strong, but it shows the compounding effect of dilution.
That's fascinating. So what will Auterion do with all that new capital?
Even though they're cash flow positive, they see a massive market opportunity right now and want to move fast. The new capital will help them scale sales across Europe, especially in the Nordics, Germany, and Poland, all regions currently expanding their defense budgets. They also want to grow in Asia and the broader Indo-Pacific.
And finally, moving a bit into sci-fi territory, some of Auterion's customers are now developing drones that can hunt other drones. Drone-to-drone defense is becoming real.
Exactly. For Switzerland, this is another strong signal. Deep tech startups from our ecosystem aren't just raising 10 or 20 million rounds anymore, they're raising nine-figure sums. And the US Pentagon now classifies Swiss technology as strategically relevant.
That's powerful. Together with Leica and Dedalion, Auterion reinforces the brand, Deep Tech Swiss International. These cases show that Swiss founders can play globally. Let's move to our third and final deal of the month, Deskbird, a Swiss SaaS startup that's rethinking the modern workplace. The company just announced a $23 million USD Series B round, quite an achievement for a company founded only in 2020. Before we talk about the new round, let's rewind a bit. Deskbird is one of those startups that emerged right in the middle of the pandemic, at a time when no one knew what the future of work would look like.
Exactly. The two founders, Ivan Kosu and Jonas Hess, originally built a platform for co-working spaces. When COVID hit, they quickly pivoted. Their first version was a simple but clever idea. An app to book co-working spaces. You could find available desks, check in with a QR code, and get billed automatically for the time you actually used. They basically applied the Airbnb logic to flexible office desks.
And that clearly met a real need. By early 2021, over 120 co-working spaces across Germany, Austria, and Switzerland were already connected to their platform. Even during the peak of the home office boom, demand for flexible workspaces was high. Deskbird soon realized that the bigger opportunity wasn't external co-working spaces, but companies themselves. Firms suddenly had to figure out who comes to the office when, how many desks they really need, and how to coordinate hybrid teams. That realization marked the beginning of Deskbird's second phase, becoming a full platform for hybrid work inside companies.
And that's what they are today. Deskbird has evolved into a complete workplace management solution. Through the app, employees can book desks, meeting rooms, parking spots, and more. HR and facility teams get analytics on space usage, peak times, and optimization potential. Essentially, Deskbird has become an operating system for the modern office, lean, data-driven, and user-friendly, as they like to say.
They've scaled internationally from Switzerland and now serve over 1 million users in more than 60 countries. Their clients include Heineken, Schaeffler, KFC, Aeon, and Shell, among others. In just 5 years, they've grown from a co-working app into one of Europe's leading SaaS platforms for hybrid work. They're now seen as the European alternative to US players like Envoy or Robin.
Exactly. What I like is that they didn't get stuck in the COVID wave like so many others. They built long-term relevance by thinking bigger, not just home office coordination, but the future of the office itself. That vision paid off. Let's take a quick look at the cap table, Max.
Sure. Deskbird was founded in August 2020. About 14 months later, in October 2021, Session VC led a $1.2 million US dollar seed round at roughly a 7 million franc valuation. Then, in August 2022, they raised a pre-series A of 5 million US dollars at about 20 million post-money, with 41 Rivals Capital from Germany joining, alongside Session VC again.
1 year later, in August 2023, they closed their Series A for 13 million US dollars. New investors included Austin Capital, that's Carsten Maschmeyer's 3VC vehicle, plus AXA Venture Partners, and Portfolion from Budapest. Existing investors also doubled down. The valuation at that time was around 37 million pre-money. In 2024, Deskbird even made its first acquisition, buying the French company Hub2B to expand its customer base and enter a new market.
And now, this September, they announced their $23 million USD Series B. The round was led by Octopus Ventures from London, with Neva SGR from Italy, ADP Ventures with offices in Paris, London, and New York, plus existing investors all participating. Some convertible notes were converted at a discount, and the new equity investors came in at a pre-money valuation of about 55 million francs. I spoke briefly with founder Ivan Kosu this week. He said they're thrilled to have Octopus and Neva on board, two highly experienced investors, and that it took quite some time to close the round because many parties and lawyers were involved. They had early term sheets that they weren't fully happy with, decided to wait, and that patience ultimately paid off.
That's an important lesson. Founders should always plan their liquidity carefully and start fundraising early enough. If you wait until cash is nearly gone, you'll be forced to accept terms you might later regret. We've seen too many companies run out of money mid-process. Something else caught my eye in this round, a slightly unusual mechanism. The Series B investors negotiated an annual yield on top of their liquidation preference, 12% per year. That means their pref increases from 1.0 times to 1.12 times after a year and up to around 1.76 times after 5 years. It's like a built-in return if an exit happens later. It's clever, but I wouldn't recommend introducing it too early. Otherwise, the pref stack can get pretty heavy and dampen founder motivation.
That's really interesting. I hadn't seen that structure before. Essentially, a growing liquidation preference. Always something new to learn. So, to date, about $44 million in equity have been invested in Deskbird. That gives early investors roughly a 3x multiple at the current valuation. But beyond the numbers, what does this deal mean for Switzerland's SaaS ecosystem?
For me, it's proof that Switzerland can also produce internationally relevant SaaS companies without needing deep ETH or EPFL tech roots. Deskbird shows that strong product market fit, execution, and design can build global traction just as well as hardcore deep tech. It's a great counterexample to our usual deep tech focus.
Exactly. And with that, we wrap up this month's Deal of the Month episode. If you'd like to support the podcast, subscribe to our Burn Rate newsletter and share it within your network. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great weekend. Take care and goodbye.